Well, I've written out the prayer in English, and then I started studying in Latin. I'm afraid you can't win. Well, let's have a look at the summary of the encyclical on Freemasonry. You've got it here in the red or the pink volume. It's the third, yes, the third, human genus, meaning in Latin mankind, humankind. I've not got a copy of my own. You may just be a stick of it at the back. Or I may have to borrow one of yours. No, I've got that, thank you. It's just the text, the complete text.
Your Excellency, I've got one.
You've got a spare one?
Yeah.
Can you please be shared?
Yeah.
Thanks very much. That may
help. Yes,
good.
All right. Remember not to walk into the wild.
Now, let's have a look at the summary. Firstly, introduction, evil of Freemasonry, remedy, conclusion. That's four sections. Conclusion is, everybody must pray, my papal benediction, 1884. So the date is towards the end of the 19th century. Freemasonry came into existence in England in 1717. It was first condemned by a pope as early as 1736 by Clement the, I think it's 13th.
38.
It's been repeatedly condemned. But this encyclical of Leo the 13th is one of the biggest in condemning it. It's one of the heaviest. But it's interesting that it's been steadily condemned, right down to, but not including, the new Code of Canon Law, which starts pussyfooting on the question. But the old Code of Canon Law is very clear. No Catholic may be a Freemason. The new Code of Canon Law, you may, but you mayn't, you may not, but well, maybe you may. It's that kind of typical modern mush which simply destroys legislation. Then the introduction, from 1 to 8, the substance, I hope the paragraphs correspond. I think they do. It'll be easy to see by looking at the end. If it's the last one is 38 and 39 given at Rome. Yes, it is. It corresponds. That's fine. The numbers correspond. Sometimes they don't, because they've been a different edition. Here they do, so you've got no worry. The numbers down the middle, from 1 down to 39, correspond to the numbers of the paragraphs as numbered in your text. For instance, page 1, you've got paragraphs 1, 2, and then 3 just at the bottom. Page 2, you've got 4, 5, 6, 7, and the beginning of 8. And so the numbers correspond. Introduction, the evil of Freemasonry, he's laying it all out. That's obviously the substance and the body, and then the remedy is what the church must and should do about it. The introduction will deal with, as it usually does, the need for this particular encyclical. Why this encyclical, why the Pope is addressing this subject, why there's a need for it. It's what's in Scholasticism called the final cause, or the purpose of the encyclical, what the necessity of the encyclical. Satan's association, the Pope's warnings, conclusion, warn again, paragraph 8. Satan has a kingdom which is at war with Christ's kingdom. That's the gigantic backdrop of Freemasonry. Freemasonry is the principal agent of Satan's kingdom in the modern world. That may shock you, it may surprise you, it may be perfectly clear to you and perfectly known to you. In any case, behind Freemasonry, says Pope Leo, is clearly Satan. The popes, paragraphs 4 to 7, have warned. They've warned again and again. And Leo the 13th lists. Yes, there we are, Clement the 12th and 38th, Benedict the 14th, Pius the 7th, Leo the 12th, Pius the 8th, Gregory the 16th, Pius the 9th. That's just about the list of the popes from 1730 on. It's just about, not complete. Completely, but just about. He gives the list of the warnings, and then he says all these warnings were justified, but they weren't sufficiently. The people haven't sufficiently regarded what the popes have said. Therefore, we've got to warn again. And so paragraph 8, that's why there's another, going to be another complete encyclical on Freemasonry. Then, the evil of Freemasonry. And it's interesting. Notice he's got first the evil character. Then he's got the evil principles, 12 to 28. Sorry, that's 12 to 18. There's a misprint there. It's obviously 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. That's a misprint. Then you've got the evil practice, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. You've got then a kind of verdict, the Pope's conclusion or verdict on what he's laid out. Now, while you're still looking at character, principles, practice, verdict, again, notice there, if we look, when we look at 9, 10, and 11, we're going to see the character, it's sort of a broadly brushed picture of Freemasonry. It's not yet really the nitty-gritty. And he mentions this character of secrecy, which is already a very bad sign for Freemasonry. Namely, Freemasons work in darkness. They work in secret. Every Freemason swears tremendous oaths that if he ever betrays what he learns inside the lodges, let his breast be exposed at low tide, let his throat be slit from ear to ear, let his hair be arranged in orange and green. I mean, it's simply fantastic what the Freemasons lay out as threats for anybody who will reveal what goes on inside the lodges. In fact, people have defied this threat. Many of the people that have defied the threat have had their throats slit from ear to ear, have had their hair arranged in orange and green. I mean, I'm making fun, of course. It's not that. The throat slit from ear to ear. That's literal. That's right there. Jack the Ripper committed Masonic murders of those poor prostitutes in the East End of London back in the 1890s. And when those prostitutes were laid out on the pavement, they were laid out in Masonic style, with three brass pennies arranged in a triangle nearby, so that anybody who knew anything knew that they were Masonic murders. The Masons did this, is what somebody did. Yeah. And there are Masonic signs, and those signs were Masonic. It was a Mason. Jack the Ripper was a Mason. For whatever reason, that's another story. We won't go into that now, although it's interesting. But we won't go into that now. But it looks like it was the Queen, one of the Queen's doctors, Her Royal Majesty's physicians, the most high and respectable of English society, a doctor of Queen Victoria, going around the East End cutting prostitutes' throats from ear to ear. Why? Because these prostitutes knew something about the heir to the throne having secretly married a little Catholic girl. And these prostitutes were threatening Buckingham Palace, either you fork up or we will spill the beans that the heir to the British throne has married secretly a little Catholic girl. For five prostitutes, because he got one wrong, and so he had to carry out a fifth murder. Five, it was a Queen's doctor, Mason, who did it. He probably brought them into his carriage, gave them grapes to eat, because they were prostitutes, they were used to getting into carriage with a man. He then gave them grapes to eat, which put them to sleep. Then he cut their throats and laid them out on the pavement. And those are the famous, famous cases of Jack the Ripper. It's an interesting book about it. In any case, the point is that the Masons have secrecy. And this is one of the obvious signs of their evil. Because the children of light operate out in the light. The children of darkness operate in the... Those who operate in the darkness are the children of darkness. Therefore, that's just a first and obvious indication that the Masons are children of darkness. The fact that they operate in secrecy. That's a strike against Opus Dei inside the Catholic Church. That Opus Dei operates with a kind of a quasi-Masonic secret. It's just not a Catholic way of doing things. The children of light don't have to operate in darkness. Of course, if you're trying to send priests into the communist countries, then you have to operate secretly. So that, but you don't construct a whole congregation in the supposedly free world by those methods. So Catholics don't imitate Masons. That's a strike against the Knights of Columbus, who are a quasi-imitation of the Masons. The Catholics have nothing to do imitating Masons. Nothing, nothing, nothing to do with imitating Masons. But he just goes, the broad brushstrokes for the character of Masonry, its secrecy and its wickedness, and then exceptions. But notice then we come, now this is the real heart of the encyclical, 12 to 18. Because, and just as you're going to notice about the encyclicals, the popes take ideas very, very seriously. When the popes want to go for the jugular, they go not for what people do, what people, they go for their ideas, their principles. They don't go for the practice. The practice is this, practice that. What is ideas? The popes go for the ideas because the Catholics know that ideas count. Now, the great pretense of the modern world, I say pretense, is that ideas don't count, that ideas are unimportant. It's not true. And the Catholic Church knows it, which is why even if a person says, oh, the ideas don't matter, the Catholic Church will go for his ideas, because even that ideas don't matter is an idea. And it's the key idea of a lot of people today, that ideas don't matter. Ideas are junk. It doesn't matter what you do, just like that's an idea. And it's a governing idea, and it's a foolish idea. It's a very foolish idea. Ideas do count. Ideas govern. That person who says ideas don't matter is governed by the idea that ideas don't matter. So whichever way you look at it, ideas matter. And that's why that when the Catholic, the Pope, analyzes an error, he goes for the principles and the doctrine every time. You'll see that, you'll notice that. So, he doesn't even say, look, the Freemasons are evil because of, look at all their fruits, they're evil because of their secrecy. He passes by that. He says, what's wrong with Freemasonry is its basic principles. And a Freemason would hardly deny 12 to 18. He wouldn't deny it. He couldn't honestly deny it. He might say, oh, forget about the secrecy, that's just because we like getting away from our wives once a month and having a party. That's not it. We couldn't, but we're in business and so on. He might sort of fluff over that, but a Mason would hardly deny it. In other words, the Catholic Church is not attacking Masonry for hole and corner little things. It's attacking the very, very basis of it, its basic principles. Its basic principle of naturalism. The error, the gigantic problem of Freemasonry is naturalism. And you'll see then that there follows on the principles, 12 to 18, the practice of Freemasonry, the evil practice, which is 19 to 23. And he then goes on to the practice, and he says what these principles result in. What they result in 19 and 20 for the individual, what they result in 21 for the family, what they result in for society. And you'll notice in 19 to 23 the most astonishing photograph of 1993. Wait for it. You will get a picture, you'll say, hey, this is today. This isn't 1884, this is 1993. Why? Because the Masons were in control in 1884, and the Masons have got, well, this is what the Masons intended to do in 1884, and this is what the Masons have been succeeded in doing ever since. The Masons run the modern world. And that's why what they plan to do is a portrait of the modern world. So, 19 to 23, you will find a horrifying portrait of the modern world. The Pope's verdict. He says it's folly and it's danger. It's folly because it's off in dreamland. It's just completely out of touch with reality. It's a defiance of God, a defiance of nature, a defiance of reality, which is just going outer and outer into the left field. It's way off track. And in the danger is that all of this is 27, 28, 29, it's paving the way for the Antichrist and for communism. And prophetic words. Communism broke out in a big way, of course, in 1917, a few tens of years after the Pope wrote this encyclical. And Freemasonry and communism, you're going to see, when you see the encyclical on communism, you're going to see exactly the same portrait of the modern world, painted by Pius XI in 1937. Again, upon the basis of principles. The principles of Masonry are deeply in sync with the principles of communism. And so what you have, I said yesterday, that is Protestantism in rolling attacks. I'm sure a number of you have seen this one before. 1517, Luther. The second great rolling wave of this attack. 1717, Freemasonry. 1917, Communism.
almost on the clock,
the three great waves. Again, we come back to here. So Luther, Freemasonry, Communism. The three major and deeply in sync with one another. The connection between Protestantism and Freemasonry we saw yesterday, namely that Protestantism establishes the two religions in fact side by side, Catholicism and the denial of Catholicism side by side. And then he comes along and says, hey guys, look, we're living in peace, we're all nice guys, we all play golf well, we're all good guys, let's all agree that this is a good way of living. And then you'll move from the fact, you move into the principle of all religions are equal, therefore all religions don't matter. Remember that, if all religions are equal and all religions contradict one another, what follows from that? Gary?
There is no religion.
There is no religion. Or all religions are
useless.
If all religions are equal, then all religions are useless, because one thing is darn sure, they contradict one another. And if a religion consists in what it says about God and about life, and if all the religions contradict one another, which they sure do, down to and including secular humanism, and if they're all equal, all equally good, in that case, truth doesn't matter. You can't avoid that one. And that's where a lot of good Americans trip up. Because a lot of decent Americans, I speak about America because I'm an American. And I like America. I like being an American. I'm an Englishman, and an awful lot of the trouble of America comes from England. I could say much worse things about England than about America. I have don't come into that as a guest of this country in order to abuse this country, but I notice that many good Americans, they want to be nice guys, and they want religions all to get on with one another, and they believe in religion. But they're like the Protestant who believes in Christ and doesn't believe in the Pope. To believe in religion, but to believe, and then to believe in all religions, is contradictory. If you believe in all religions, then you believe in all of these things contradicting one another, in which case you can't believe in truth. If you don't believe in truth, what use is any religion? Therefore, to believe in religion and to believe in religions doesn't look contradictory, but it is. It's a very, very important point to get hold of. Very, 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 very important. It doesn't look contradictory. Religions, it's the same thing. No. Because all the religions contradict. Some say the real presence is true. A few say the real presence is true. The great number of them say it's false. Most religions say God exists. Secular humanism says he doesn't exist. They all contradict one another. There's not a point on which one doesn't contradict another. Therefore, if they all contradict one another, they're all equally good, we want them all to be equally well treated, you're going to make a monkey of all religions. And that is why, as Joseph was saying yesterday, the Freemasons organize these congresses of religion. Because the Freemasons know that congresses of religion make a monkey of religion. That's the point that you have to get hold of. Decent citizens don't see that. But they're tripped up by it. They fall over it as the French say, break their face. Because they don't see the logic of being nice to all religions. If you're nice to all religions, it's quite a different thing to be nice to people of all religions. That's quite different. That's what St. Paul was. I make myself all things to all people. To make yourself nice to people of all religions is one thing. To make yourself nice to all religions is quite another. The Pope is entitled to receive Jews and Bahamans and Buddhists in private audience who come to him privately and want to talk to him. He's perfectly entitled to receive them. What he is not entitled to do is to see them in public as representatives of these false religions and to treat them seriously and respectfully in public as representatives of false religions. That the Pope is not entitled to do. And that's what these poor recent popes are doing, because these recent popes are thinking like Freemasons. They don't have to be Freemasons in order to think like Freemasons. But they're thinking like Freemasons. Whether they're Freemasons or not. The Archbishop didn't think that Paul VI was a Freemason. But it doesn't matter whether he was or wasn't. In any case, he thought and behaved like a Freemason. He agreed with the Freemasons. So, therefore Freemasonry, this principle, I hope you saw it this afternoon in Ecumenism, the principle of being nice to all religions is deadly to religion. And the Freemasons, the enemies of Catholicism, understand that perfectly. Unfortunately, a lot of Catholics don't understand it.
Probably this is the biggest accomplishment of Freemason, that most people who are not members of Christ share this opinion,
yes,
that are inside Masons,
yes,
even without knowing this.
Absolutely. That's correct. One of the main Masonic goals is to be present everywhere and to be recognizable nowhere. To be present everywhere and to be recognizable nowhere. That's an ideal of Masonry. And you see how well they've achieved that in the modern world. Because the modern world, as you'll see, when you read 19 to 23, you will be shocked, I almost promise you. You will be shocked. Because that's the portrait of the modern world. And you will see that the modern world is exactly what the Masons are aiming at. And yet, people don't know that Masonry is what it's at, is where it's at, or that the Masons are responsible. People know that there's a little shop front with a triangle over the door down in town, downtown. What they don't know and realize is that the Masons govern the town. The Masonry calls the shots, it does. And that's the cleverness of the Masons, that their influence is everywhere and their presence apparent is nowhere. They paint themselves out of the picture, which is the clever thing to do. And you read history books. How many of you learn about Freemasonry in the history books that you read at school or university? Hands up anybody who read anything about Freemasons in his school history books. See? I certainly never did. And you know what the Masons would do. If anybody wrote a history book which mentioned the Masons, Masons would close in on that print and he would be out of business fairly soon. It would be done gracefully, it would be done cleverly, but he would be out of business. And that textbook would disappear. That's the way they operate. They don't want to be seen. They want to be there, but they don't want to be seen. That's again a typical hallmark of the devil. All right. Then the verdict is that they're going to bring on communism, which certainly happened. The remedy, notice again, and this is a point you'll see, firstly, within the church, 30 to 33, secondly, amongst the laity, 34 to 36. These real problems, these big problems, are always firstly spiritual problems. And spiritual problems have always firstly got to be handled inside the church. I said yesterday, somebody asked, where does the problem come from? I said, the problem is from the clergy. I hate to say it. All the good is from the clergy, from good clergy, and all the bad is from bad clergy. Somebody said that down in the fires of hell, every soul roasting in hell will point to somebody else and say, it's his fault that I'm down here. That one will point, it's his fault that I'm down here. That one will point, it's his fault that I'm down here. You'll go back up the chain until you arrive at a priest. Pray for your priests, because their responsibility is daunting. Pray for your priests. You've got plenty of other intentions, my dear good friends, to pray for, but make sure you pray for your priests, because they've got a lot to answer for. The power of the priest is something frightening. So, then, within the church, and then within the laity. So firstly, the answer within the church. The answer, notice firstly what the Pope must do, and he's doing. Then bishops. Bishops, they must unmask the error, they must teach the truth. Then they've got what they must do, the bishops towards the clergy and laity, and then the laity, the tertiaries, and Pope Leo speaks up for Franciscan tertiaries, he speaks up for the guilds, which is a good kind of thing inside society. It's a kind of intermediate organization of subsidiarity, which provides buffers. It's democracy on a local, units of democracy up and down the chain. That's what guilds are, kind of. And then youth, and he wants the youth above all to be protected from these pernicious errors. So that's, then let's zero in a little more closely still, and we go back to the introduction. Satan's association, two kingdoms. Famous quotation of St. Augustine. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of self set up against the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of God which is set up against the kingdom of self. It's self against God, me against God, God against me. Ever since the fall, men on earth have been divided between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. However, today, the servants of Satan are more strongly led than ever, and they're out in the open by Freemasonry. So the Pope is saying, that Freemasonry are the, is the shock troops, or the front organization, the chief organization of Satan. He's saying that in modern times, Satan has managed to get this organization going, which makes evil more organized than ever in the world. Evil bigger than ever in the world, towards the end of the fifth period. We're rolling down faster and faster as Masonry gets more and more power. In such a crisis, the Pope must lay out a battle plan. That hyphen is badly placed. There's another little printing error there. The Pope must lay out a battle plan to defend Christ's kingdom. He goes then back over history. He enumerates the warnings of the popes in general. Previous popes denounced Freemasonry from the moment that it came out into the open. That was 1717. It had been creeping underground before then, but it came out. It was founded and then a kind of refounding in 1717 and 1783 in London, England. In London, England. England has done a lot of damage. A lot of damage. Archbishop Lefebvre used to say, if only the Henry VIII hadn't, you know, if only the Henry VIII hadn't gone after all those women. See what influence England has had in the world since, by its colonism, by its empire. The world language today is English. And imagine if that influence had been Catholic instead of anti-Catholic. It's a dream. Freemasonry came from England. From the moment it came out into the open. Firstly, you've got the list of the popes. Six. These warnings were justified. They were reactions. In many countries, political leaders and even Masons admitted that the denunciations were justified. Alas, Masonry nevertheless advanced rapidly and it threatens to prove all of the Pope's warnings true. So Masonry has gone from strength to strength since the early 18th century, since 1717. And it's still advancing today. In various encyclicals, I have attacked Masonic errors. In this encyclical, I'm going to attack Masonry itself. In other words, now I'm going for the organization behind these errors. I've attacked plenty of errors which the Masons propagate, like democratism, like humanism, like secularism, like socialism, all of these things, like divorce, like civil divorce, like artificial birth control, all of these things the Masons will promote. Like pornography, yes, also. I've attacked these various other things, but now I'm going for Masonry itself. The evil character, the broad portrait of Masonry. The broad portrait. Freemasonry is the center and queen of secret societies, binding its members to secrecy by fearful oaths. I mentioned, you know, if I ever declare what happens I've seen or learned inside the lodge, may I be exposed at low tide, may my throat be slit from ear to ear, may the dogs eat what remains of my carcass. This kind of thing, it goes on for a little while. You wonder how grown men can take it seriously. You know, I mean, when you go through the initiation rite, you have to roll up one trouser leg halfway, you have to uncover, you know, half of your chest, you sort of have to be blindfolded, and then they point a sword at you. I mean, it's... How can grown men go for this? Who's got an answer to that question?
Money.
Money. Yeah. If you want to get ahead in the army, it's...
Anywhere. Everywhere. In the church.
The police. In the church, it's true. In the church, it's true.
And money talks and dress walks.
That's it. That's got a lot to do with it.
Sure.
That's a lot of why people join Masonry, because Masonry controls all of the professions now, including the Catholic Church. If you want to go up in the Catholic Church, you better be a Mason. Why did the makers of Masonry include this mumbo jumbo?
Fear.
To induce fear?
If they did that to a lot of the priests that have been ordained, true priests after spending 6-7 years in a seminary, they won't go out there and do the things that they're doing today. That's in the papers every day, because they know they have the throat slit.
But why the mumbo jumbo character? Why the blindfold? Why to induce fear, you're saying? Yeah, okay.
Well, Satan plays for real.
Same place for real, that's for sure.
Play games.
That's for sure. He doesn't play games, but that's exactly why.
So they get you in the trap.
It looks like games.
But it's always good Larry? To have ceremonies around.
People like ceremony, yes.
Yeah.
There's certain need for
mystery.
Mystery, religion, and it gives kind of substitution.
Yeah. Yeah.
To demonstrate complete obedience.
Yes. Yes. So you've got a little collection of reasons. In any case, it surely fits human psychology. People need some mystery, they need some ceremony, they need to be impressed, they need to be a bit scared. They like being a bit scared also. So, you know, putting a sword to your chest and so on and so on.
But it is totally contradictory to what they say about rationalism, to fight all dogmas.
Of course it's contradictory. Of course it's contradictory.
And all these stories concerning King Solomon
and Hiram.
Where does it come from? Wasn't one of them?
It comes from the bee.
I have a friend. He's the high 32nd or so degree.
Yes, yes.
Mason.
Yeah.
He's the representative from Germany in Canada.
Yes.
Known for many years. And I tell him sometimes these things.
Yeah.
He says, that is not true.
Yeah.
He says, when you go to our meetings,
there
is all old men sitting there, they all half asleep, and I'm falling asleep too, that's all what we do.
Yeah.
We're getting together once a month. That's what he's telling me.
What is it?
And he's a shrine, you know,
So it's very good about Freemasonry, written by Cardinal from Chile.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
Rodriguez,
yes. Yeah. Of course, Masonry, the Pope will say that in a few moments. We come first. Firstly, the secrecy of the fearful oaths. 10. This hallmark of evil is confirmed by Masonry's wicked aims and fruits, the overthrow of Christianity. That is, in fact, the bottom line of Freemasonry, to overthrow Christianity, especially the Catholic Church. Any Christianity with any strength in it must be overthrown. That is, especially the Catholic Church. And now, tradition. Because the Masons are smart enough to know that the strongest part of the Catholic Church today is those that keep to the old beliefs and practices. And so since the Seminary of Akon started up, I think in Martigny, the nearby town, 2 Masonic lodges started up. I think that's true. I have not checked that, but I think it's true.
Where?
In Switzerland.
That's the closest.
In Akon, since the seminary started up, the Masons started up 2 lodges nearby. That's what I've heard.
Close to the seminary?
Close to the seminary. Within 20 minutes by car of the seminary, yes. That's what I've heard.
It's a border station.
In order to combat the old-fashioned Catholicism, which they know is the real danger.
Also, in the European countries in the fall of communism,
yes.
They were very eager to establish itself.
That's it.
They're afraid of reestablishing of Catholicism.
That's it. That's it.
To promote liberty.
Matthew comes from Poland and he knows what he's talking about. That's one of the things that's known. As when the Iron Curtain fell in inverted commas, when communism collapsed in inverted commas, the Masons swept in, moved in fast in order to stop a reversion to religion. To head off a reversion to religion.
In one of my books, they say the Crown Prince, Otto von Habsburg,
yes.
The way he talks, and he's supposed to be one of the greatest Catholics.
Yes.
The way he talks, he has to be connected.
It could be. Masonry infiltrated the royal families in France, in Portugal, in Italy, in Spain, the Catholic countries back in the 18th century. The Masonry got inside all of them. It was very fashionable at a certain point. 11. But not all members, nor all the affiliated or associations like Lions, Rotary, Elks, you know the others like that.
Shrines,
so on. Not all of the associations are involved in the full wickedness. In other words, notice, the Pope makes allowances. There are people inside Masonry and there are secondary organizations of Masonry which are not fully aware of what Masonry is really about. In other words, you definitely do have mugs inside Masonry. people who look good and who... there are mugs and villains, and probably, I don't know the proportion of the two, but probably the proportion of mugs is very high to the number of villains. Right? So, but the mugs are very useful, because they make people think, hey, he's such a good guy, he couldn't be a villain. So the moment you've got somebody accusing Freemasonry of being villainous, the Masons cleverly pick out all of the local mugs, the decent citizens who've got, they've got to join because of money and the rest of it, and they say, look, he can't be a, he's not a villain, he's not a villain. He's too dumb to be a villain. Masonry isn't villainous. Masonry is full of good, dumb guys. But the way in which Masonry works is that at every meeting, you may have a lot of snoozing old gentlemen, but at every single meeting is at least one smart guy watching what's going on. One smart guy watching and or controlling what's going on. And depending on what's going on, that smart guy reports to the next layer up. And then when the next layer up meets, again, you may have a few snoozing gentlemen, but there'll be one or two that really know what's going on. They report up and so on. And that way, it's a pyramid. It's a satanic pyramid, of which the whole thing is closely controlled. And when they see, amongst all the snoozing gentlemen, one that's half awake and looks a little bit promising, they invite him to come to the higher-up meeting. And that's how you rise in Masonry. And once you've risen too far, and once you know too much, it's difficult to get out of Masonry. The story is told in Spain, and there are many, many stories like it. A father wanted to get his son out of Masonry because his son had got into it. So the Mason said, you want to get your son out of Masonry? I'm sorry, that's impossible. He said, look, I've got to. I've got his family, this and that. I must get him out of Masonry. You want to get him out of Masonry? That's impossible. Look, I must get him out. All right, we'll tell you how. You come along at such and such time, such and such place, and we'll get your son out of Masonry. So he went along there, and he was shown into this room where there's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the room. And he's given a gun. He said, look, if you'll point that gun and shoot our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get your son out of Masonry. He says, I can't do that. I can't shoot our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want your son out of Masonry or not? Yes, I do. In that case, you shoot Jesus Christ and you will get your son out of Masonry. The paper is torn and comes out, falls forwards out from behind the paper, the corpse of his son. See, that's the way in which Masonry operates. If you haven't gone too far, you might get up. But if you've gone too far and know too much, you can't get up. Or you can get out of here. That's the way Masonry operates. So it's a wicked organization, but by no means all the members are wicked. By no means all of the affiliate outriding organizations are wicked, or as fully wicked. But the heart of the thing is totally satanic. The heart of Freemasonry, the heart and soul, the very core of it is completely satanic.
Well, Lehmann is Rotary. Bishop Lehmann is Rotary.
There are plenty of, I've got here the file. There's a famous list of the Masons in the Vatican.
Yeah.
This famous list brought out. And you know that the man who published it, a name by a man called Pecorelli, he was shot soon after. I don't know the whole story. Mary Martinez knows that story.
Casaroli is on there too.
But what happens, and again, this is typical. What happens when a list of Freemasons high inside the Vatican is published, the Freemasons deny it, of course, and then a few months later appears another list, including a lot of names on the real list, plus some names of people who are obviously not Freemasons. And then that list, the Masons take care to circulate the second list. Then as the second list circulates alongside the first list, the first list is genuine, the second list is bogus because it's a mixture. The Masons then say, hey, look at this, you talk about that first list, hey, there's a second list also circulating, and it's obviously false. Therefore, the first list is false also. You see the technique? Diabolically clever. We're talking about Satan. Satan's clever. He's an angel of darkness. He's got a top angel. And that's the mode of operation. Fear not, says our Lord. It is I. Catholics don't have to be afraid, but they do have to be a certain amount informed of this organization. We come to the heart of the matter, the evil principles. And this section you want to read, you want to read all of it, but read this section especially, and then read especially 12 to 23. Well, let's have a look briefly now. 12. Freemasonry's fundamental error is naturalism, the denial of any supernatural truth or authority. Who is God to try to tell me what to think? Who is God to try to tell my reason what to think? I know that 2 and 2 is 4. I can work it out. Anything that my reason can't work out, get lost. That's naturalism. There's no supernatural truth, like, for instance, the Holy Eucharist, the real presence, and there's no supernatural authority. No organization on earth has the authority to say, this is the truth, you'd better believe it, or you're going to go to hell.
I passed by it's an office of the Rosicrucians, and it's near 14th Street in Manhattan. And I didn't know that Descartes was a Rosicrucian. And what he's saying there about the supremacy of reason, it certainly reminds me of Descartes.
Oh, yeah. Descartes is one of the fathers of rationalism as a philosopher, yes. One of the very most important figures. And therefore, and he was, yes, I think it's true. He was mixed in with those, he's a sinister figure, Descartes. So the fundamental error is naturalism. That's why you've got on your granddaddy Protestantism schema, grandfather Protestantism, you've got human genesis tied in with naturalism, because this is what the Pope says is the heart of naturalism. Then you've got the foundation in his naturalism, then you've got the growth. Now notice the escalation of this principle. I was saying, been saying, you know, that errors tie together, and once you undo the top stitch, implicitly you're undoing the bottom stitch as well. Not explicitly, but implicitly. Freemasonry seeks, firstly, to disconnect the state from the Catholic Church so as to discount the Church's influence. Then it goes on to actually injure the church. 14. Firstly, disregard the church. Secondly, injure the church. The church is then positively attacked in her teaching, in her rights, in her clergy, in her possessions, in her orders. You see that, for instance, in France at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, the fierce war that Freemasonry waged upon the religious orders and kicked them all out of France, which was a blessing for other countries, because a lot of French religious scattered in other countries and built convents and monasteries in other countries. But it was a terrible curse for France. How was France punished? Anybody? First World War. Terrible punishment for France. Terrible punishment. Do any of you know the story of Verdun? How many of you have seen pictures of the Battle of Verdun? None of you have seen pictures of the Battle of Verdun? Few. Yeah. That First World War, trench warfare. None of you have seen pictures of trench warfare? Yes, I've written about it in the Netherlands, because I visited the battlefield of Verdun last summer and I was much struck. And it's a terrible punishment. And 1.5 million young men, either from France alone or from all of the warring countries, dead. How many widows, how many orphans, and the battlefield, a charnel house, terrible. What's one reason why God allows that? Allows such a battlefield. Anybody?
To punish the world and to allow people to reconsider their position?
Yes, that's correct. When the shells are falling, you start by getting on your knees. And a lot of young men will have saved their souls on the battlefield who would not otherwise have saved their souls. If they'd lived in a peace like today, with pornography, with divorce, with contraception, so on. But on the battlefield, they went there. Full of grace. He does a marvelous book from the First World War by Father Willie Doyle, about Father Willie Doyle. Have any of you know that book? The biography of this Irish chaplain in the First World War. He was a very, very brave fellow. And he was in with the Irish soldiers, right in front. And he was writing amongst the shells for, I think, 18 months until finally got blown away himself. But he had a marvelous ministry. You don't make bogus confessions when the shells are falling all around. And that's obviously one reason why God allowed it. The same for the young Germans. The young German Catholics came to the front and made their confession, and then got blown away by French shells or English shells. It's an incredible story, that First World War. But it's very clearly, it has God written all over it. So to speak, understand me rightly. The punishment of God is written all over it. And the punishment of God and the mercy of God is written all over it. The Second World War, the same thing. And the Third World War will be the same thing. It's coming. Disconnect the state from the church. Attack the church. That's what the French did. That's what Bismarck had done a few years before in Germany. So Germany was punished as well. And England, I'll speak about what Freemasonry had done for years and years and years in England. Well, all three countries were heavily punished in that First World War. In particular, 15, Freemasonry aims to destroy the papacy and everything that it is established for the church. So injure the church and then destroy the church. Destroy the papacy, attack the Pope. And that's what the Italians were doing through...